With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, what's your favorite Super Bowl? And also, we'll start here. What's the first Super Bowl like you like remember?
Why are you asking Will and I to age ourselves? This feels targeted.
It is.
Was that the plan here?
Yep. Come on, old man.
I'm trying to actually look up the history of the Super Bowl.
I know exactly which one
remember.
It is. Like, I think I've said it on the show before. I'll go ahead and I'll play the game, though, Joe.
Thanks.
I'll age myself.
I'll play your game.
It was Washington versus Dallas.
What
early
year
90s.
Was that?
Washington versus Buffalo.
That was 92.
Yeah, the second time Buffalo lost.
Yeah, I think 94 was the first one I really remember, the Cowboys and Bills. That one I was locked in. Maybe it was even 93. That was the first one I remember. Now, I was a 49ers fan growing up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Steve Young, quarterback, my hometown. I was a young little lefty quarterback that petered out. But Niners beating the brakes off the Chargers was the first time I was invested in it.
Mine's Rams Titans.
Dude, that was one. That was honestly one of my favorite.
Yeah,
Super Bowls. It's up there.
For a long time, like, I was a very confused sports fan. Is the best way to put it. And if you looked in my closet, I had Bears jerseys,
yeah,
Titans jerseys, and Rams jerseys.
All right, okay. So, which Titans and Rams players did you have jerseys for?
McNair and Dyson,
Eddie George, Torrey Holt, and Marshall Faulk.
Okay,
interesting.
Were the three
that. The problem with, like, that Rams-Titans Super Bowl was one of my favorites, but also, like, one of the most disappointing because I really, 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 really wanted the Titans to win.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just loved McNair. That was the year of the Frank Wycheck Music City Miracle, right? Like, they made this crazy run. The uniforms were badass. They were kind of new. They were a new team on the block. It was fun. I know no one here wants to hear that.
Yeah, you're alone.
Bring it on, Houston.
You're alone.
Just a reminder, he's not from here.
But my favorite Super Bowl of all time that I watched was the Patriots-Giants. Giants beating the Patriots.
Which one?
David Tyree.
The first one. Okay.
I was working at ESPN at that time in Bristol. So I was at a party, split Giants, split Patriots. I had no rooting interest. I wanted the Giants to win, but like not as a fan. And that game was just crazy. Like, it was so much fun. It was such a good game.
I think, honestly, like, I think the Philly special game is up
call.
There. Like, that's such a good game. Like, it was a good game, basically, from start to finish.
It was a high-scoring game. It was, like, 38-32, something like that?
That was 18, right? Yeah, it was 41-33.
41-33.
Okay. Yeah, like, that's like, probably one of my favorites.
I think one of the most underrated games of all time was the Cardinals-Steelers game in 2009.
We are on the same page.
That was my favorite game.
Yeah, it's a great game, bro.
That was going to be my favorite,
I mean, the back and forth in the final, like, 2-3 minutes.
When Fitzgerald scores that touchdown, like, I think everyone thinks, oh, my God, the Cardinals are going to do it, which is crazy because they overcame that James Harrison 100-yard interception touchdown right before the half.
But it San Antonio Holmes that caught the touchdown? The toe tap? Like, play after play after play.
It was the toe tap was insane.
Oh, and the throw was crazy.
Like, there was a time, like, if that game had happened 20 years before, like, with no replay, I wonder if we get a different result because they don't count it.
That's a great question because, like, I rewatched the play.
It was so close.
Like, it's that's one of the best Super Bowl. That's a walk-off, right?
I don't remember there's technically zero on the clock, but it was essentially a walk-off.
Okay. Yeah, that's such an underrated game. Just because, like,
it was just the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals carry no
weight.
Yeah,
of anything.
Nothing.
Like, but, like, I love Kurt Warner, like, going back to that Rams team. So, like, I was always, like, a big fan of his.
I wanted Fitz to get it.
Yeah. Congrats to getting the Hall of Fame.
Most disappointing one. I feel like I know the answer to this one for you.
Who's that?
You, Colts, Bears?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you recall that Super Bowl, right?
I forgot it happened.
Yeah, remember Devin Hester?
But you know what?
To the house!
At the same time,
first play of the game, and then how was the rest of the play, Mrs.
Not great. And remember, they also were up 14-7 or 10-7. Thomas Jones had a big run that put them like in the red zone. I can't remember how it ended, but like, Thomas yeah, I mean, Jones. You know, it wasn't great. When I look back at it now, it's like, hey, they had Rex Grossman, dude. Like, what did you expect to happen? They weren't going to win that game. They shouldn't have been there. Like, Sexy Rexy's the quarterback.
Was that the last team that's gotten to the Super Bowl with an elite defense and a really not good quarterback?
I mean, the Eagles won one with Foles.
But he was so good. If I don't mean like he was good. Like, he's good. But, I mean, he was on a tear. Like, Joe Flacco was on a tear. Like, he was playing
awesome. So you're saying like an objectively bad quarterback.
Yeah, just like objectively, Rex Grossman's got to be the worst quarterback we've seen in a Super Bowl in our lifetime.
One-arm Peyton Manning was pretty bad.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a really bad
point.
He
was really bad by that point. Like, he'd been benched for Brock Osweiler early in the season.
When was DeLome? I guess, I mean, DeLome was better than...
DeLome was before that. Yeah. Like, he was a dog. I'm not saying he was a great quarterback, but he was a dude on that team.
The crazy thing about that game, like, you look at the final score, like, it's a high-scoring game. It was nothing at the end of the first quarter. So, like, once you got to the second quarter, it just was an all-out, you know, nonstop scoring action. But early on, it was a dud.
Yeah, I would say, like, that's probably, like Grossman has got to be the worst quarterback. And one-arm Manning. Maybe Dilfer. Yeah.
Okay, but that was 2001. Like, yeah, and talk about dating ourselves. Yeah. Like, we were like, yeah, the Dilfer. Like, some people listen to the show are like, that was quarter century ago, dude.
I know it was. But like, maybe the that first Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Ben was bad in that game.
He didn't throw a touchdown that game.
No, the touchdown was thrown by Antoine Randall.
Yeah. So like,
who did they? Was that the bus one in Detroit?
Yeah, Seahawks.
Okay. Like that's like his second season in the NFL.
I think it was. Yeah,
he's probably up there because like that's hard to think of because like we know what Ben was in the end, but in the moment, like he wasn't that good of a quarterback.
Now, I guess to your point, second year, good defense, Jerome Bettis, like their style. That's when they played true Pittsburgh Steeler football. Like,
yeah.
Versus what we were told, like, there's no way the Texans could go to Pittsburgh and play that style. That was the dumbest thing ever.
Well, now Mike McCarthy can lead them back to real Pittsburgh Steeler football. Good luck with that.
I don't hate the hire. I don't hate that hire. You hate it?
I feel neutral about it, which makes me feel like I don't like it.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter who their coach is, ultimately, if they can't figure out the quarterback position.
That's true.
Like, that's kind of like, it's not a cop-out, but it's, listen, man, you got to have at least... this Band-Aid quarterback thing, it's not working anywhere. The Colts have tried it. The Steelers have now tried it. The Giants keep on just throwing guys out there. Now they got Jackson Dart. The Jets tried it. I mean, it's a tough way to live.
Do you have a least favorite Super Bowl then? Because, I mean, you guys know mine.
Easily. It was Patriots-Rams.
Oh, I was at Josh Beard's house.
It was like 10-3, 13-3, something like that. It was a terrible game.
The first time they played? Like,
no, yeah.
No, Goff.
2018 season.
Okay.
Or the last Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Goff
Brady. That was awful. I think that's when we were working at the flagship.
That
at
had
the time.
To be.
It was me, Branham, and Josh Beard. It was the worst, most boring Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. 2019.
13. Yeah, Super Bowl was the 2018 season. But,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
13-3 final. That game was awful.
Yeah, that game sucked.
I think the worst one I remember was the blowout one you were talking about. Seattle and Denver,
because I
was
at 3-8, yeah.
I went to a buddy's house. We were all like ready to roll, like excited. First game, it was like,
and now it's over. It's like a Mike Tyson fight.
Like one play,
yeah.
Like that's it, and then it never got better. Like you kind of hung around, and you're like, all right. Like I went home at halftime, just went to bed.
And that used to be almost every year in the Super Bowl, like until like the last 15-ish years. Like Bucks Raiders back in the day was awful. Ravens Giants back in the day was awful. Obviously, the Cowboys-Bills were blowouts. Like, there was a lot of bad blowout Super Bowls until, you know, last 10 to 15 years.
A couple of favorite Super Bowls here on the text line. The David Tyree helmet catch game, of course. Broncos-Packers with Elway getting the
spin.
Getting his first one.
Oh, the spin helicopter. Play was that, yeah, that was iconic.
We have a really old person texting in saying they remember Super Bowl I. Thanks for listening.
Were they at the one at the Rice Bowl? Wherever it is?
Oh, that was Miami-Minnesota, I think. Yeah.
2004 Patriots Panthers.
I'm surprised one game that it's in my Dolphins top three Vikings. That hasn't been mentioned, but when the Ravens beat the Niners in New Orleans.
That was the Kaepernick. That was like another bad quarterback, but that was really good at the moment.
I mean, he was good at the time.
Yeah, like very good.
They had the craziness of the power going out.
Yeah. Brothers.
Beyonce was a halftime show. Like, that was a crazy night.
Harbaugh versus Harbaugh. Yeah. It was a huge comeback. That was a great game.
That was a great
game. If the 49ers won, I think it would have been better. Not speaking as a guy that was rooting for the Niners, but, like, you completed the comeback.
Sure.
And so, like, the drama would have been, like, complete.
Do they win if the lights don't go out?
I don't think they even come back because I think all the momentum like stopped.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. That Super Bowl
was that Flacco?
Yep. Yeah,
that
was. Got
oh, it, was that though? That was the only one.
Yeah, yeah. He went 11 touchdowns, no interceptions that year, and got Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, that's what he got paid. When he was
elite.
Yeah, when Joe Flacco was elite.
Speaking of like,
Pro Bowl,
kind of
again,
little bit of a sidetrack with Super Bowl talk. So like. A couple years ago, I talked to KJ Wright, played for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And he was saying, and we're talking about obviously the play where you threw the ball. And he said that play ruined everything for them going forward because not only did you lose the Super Bowl and everything, but they didn't trust each other in that building ever again with the coaching staff and it tore everything apart. Kind of just a little different angle, but like how big one play call ruined an entire dynasty.
You think if the Seahawks get down to the one in this game, they're going to run?
Isn't that crazy?
They're going to run it?
About they got to run it, right?
Yeah.
Four times in a row.
It would have to be Kenneth Walker, right?
Throw the ball.
Yeah. Kubiak's going to give that thing to Kenneth Walker. You ain't trusting Sam Darnold on the 1 yard line.
Okay.
No matter what he's done
this year. Hold on. We've talked about this a lot this year. Yeah. Like, at what point do you trust Sam Darnold? Like, for real, because he's been awesome.
When he wins.
And, like, at what point did you want to believe in the Bears, even though they've been a joke forever? It's like,
yeah.
How long does it take for the reality to set in?
He did lead the league in turnovers.
Sam did?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah. He had the most turnovers as a quarterback.
I like him as a quarterback. I think he's very good, but, like, it's just he's so...
Sam.
He's just Sam Darnold. Yeah.
Like, to your point about the wiener and blankets, it's the floor can be really, really low. Like it can just drop out.
Gonzo asked us on the Twitch account, how do you feel about going to a bar for the Super Bowl? Never done it.
I like it.
I haven't either.
Sound's got to be on.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, like, if the sound's on, it could be all right.
Got a specials, sound on.
I feel like that's one where it's like maybe like the... Your wife or girlfriend or family, whatever, doesn't really like football. So, like, they know that you do.
They can go
like,
to the playground in the kids' area.
They're going to stay at the house. You're going to go to the bar. You're going to go out with the boys. Like, that kind of works. I've never done the bar for a Super Bowl.
I love it if my team's in it and I want to be around like-minded people.
You're one of those people?
Yeah, I love
that. Oh, I'm the opposite.
Oh, I want to be with my people.
Oh, when the Bears... Like,
you don't like watching Bears games at a...
You don't like to be with like your fans?
I want to be alone, man.
So like would you go? Okay, how about this?
I almost scared my wife away from marrying me when the double doink happened. It was the first game we ever watched together.
Would you ever go to the bar with like eight friends? Like friends, like all Bears fans. Okay. All Bears fans.
Maybe if the tides are turning the way that I feel like they are, maybe. But past life. Of where I know I'm going to be let down and heartbroken. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be around a bunch of sad people because I'm going to be one of them. I'm a home alone watching a game kind of guy for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I'm not that emotionally. I'm emotionally involved in my teams, but I love being around. Like, I love to be able to celebrate and get after it with the fans. I love that part.
All right, the NFL has made they're expanding. We're going to more countries, and we're going real, real far. And one of the problems is the players don't seem to like that. We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so the Seattle Seahawks are representing the best division in football this year in the Super Bowl. So the most logical thing the NFL could do for the 2026-2027 season is say, okay, let's take the teams that finished second and third and the Rams and the 49ers, Will, and let's make them play a game in Australia next year. That's what they've decided to do. We're going to Australia, going down under.
Who's coming with me?
Not me.
we don't actually think. I mean, this is a little bit rhetorical, but at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road with this conversation and reality. The NFL does not give a crap about the players. No. I mean, not even like a little bit.
Well, and the thing is, like, the players are coming out publicly and saying that they don't like this. Christian McCaffrey has literally said it's just too far. And you've got the NFL Players Association this week saying they don't like traveling. But then you've got Roger Goodell on Monday at his press conference saying, well, the players I talked to say they like it. Like, dude, we know you're lying. Like, no one likes doing this.
No one likes it.
Jacksonville doesn't like being stuck in London for 2 weeks.
No. No one likes it.
Yeah.
Like, it is not good for the players. It is not good for the product. It is great for the bottom line. It is great for the league.
It is. And that's what, if they just said that, like, bubble, just be like, this is a money move. Like, this is a money grab. Like, sorry, like, straight up. Like, we're not doing this to make people happy. We're doing this to expand our reach, which isn't really necessary, and make more money. That's all we're doing. Like they're adding Spain next year.
You say it's not necessary, but if they lock in a TV deal in one of these countries, forget about it, man.
Well, and they're
like this salary cap is going to go to $500 million.
I mean, it's well on its way. Yeah. Another $30 million went from 279 to like 304 this year. Like, it's just keeps going up and up and up and up. And you know, as Robert Kraft said a couple weeks ago, when he probably shouldn't have, is that the NFL wants to go to 18 games, and they want every single team to play an international game.
And that makes me
like it a little bit more, because at least it's like it evens the playing field, where it's like everyone's going to deal with this at some point in the regular season, like every single team. But like,
see, I've already got you.
Yeah. But like, well, it makes more logical sense to me, at least. Like, I don't like it. Like, selfishly, like, the Bears are going to play in Spain next year. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. They shouldn't be there. I think having a divisional game, though, it's so much worse. I can't believe they're having a divisional game in a competitive division played in another country.
In Melbourne, a 15-hour flight, dude. Yeah,
like, and we were talking about this yesterday off the air, Brian. Like, I don't even know when they play this game, because it's a 15-hour flight, as you said. Like,
you have to get there at least 10 days early.
Yes, like, you can't really do it after a game on Sunday.
I think it has to be prior to week one.
I think so, too.
I think the only place you can
put it has to be enough, like, it has to be week one.
Right? No, I think they have to go do what baseball's done, where they play that opening series in Japan or Korea.
Oh.
At like about 2 weeks before the season. So the Rams and the Niners report to training camp 2 weeks early. They play a game, I don't know, like August 20-something. And then they come home for 2 weeks, and then the season starts.
Yeah, I think the most like logical thing you could do.
So we're just going to give them our worst product of all time.
the most logical thing they could do is they only play two preseason games. These teams, instead of three, after the second preseason game, they fly to Melbourne. They're there for the week three preseason. They play on the off week, but like early in the week on like Monday or Tuesday. And then they fly back, and then they don't play until, you know, Sunday night and Monday night football the following week. Like, you have to give them as much time as humanly possible. This is the farthest we've gone, traveling-wise.
You have to if like, you care. But I just don't. Remember what the Texans had to do last year throughout the Christmas? They had to play three games in 12 days?
Yes.
That was absurd.
Yes.
And like, forget about the competition. That just added to it. It was Chiefs, Ravens, and Dolphins when the Dolphins weren't a joke. I mean, that was insanely disrespectful to their health. Like, and I know people roll their eyes and get paid millions. Bro, how many of y'all can't even travel to Baltimore without getting jet lag? Like, think about trying to play an NFL game after a 16-hour flight. Your body takes 3 days to adjust.
Yeah, I think this is a... This to me just feels like a bad idea, and it's really hard for me. Like, I'm surprised where, like, the owners, like, even though they're making money, but like, if the Rams do, let's say the Rams start 0-2, and there's always what we saw last year in Brazil where the field was garbage. Now, and I think where they're playing now, like, from what I've done quick reading on, like, isn't going to be as much of a concern, but like, Jordan Love got hurt last year in the first game of the season. Because he slipped and he hurt his knee on a field that wasn't quality. Even like these games in Mexico, those fields always have problems. Like, it just, I think like the London and everything like that makes sense. Like, they play soccer there. Like, they play, like, there's pro athlete games happening on those fields regularly. Like, they're well kept, they're maintained. Like, that makes more sense. But like this, to me, like, it makes no sense. I don't get it.
It's a joke. Like, listen, I'm not like obvious, and you aren't either. We're on the same page. We understand this. We get this. It's great for the league. It's great for the bottom line. 100%. What's really the biggest black eye is obviously the player safety issue, and the fact that there is not the NFL does not go out there and enforce a great field. They don't check the field. They don't mandate that it's a great field. Yet these same buildings and these same owners, when soccer comes into their own building, mm-hmm. they'll put the proper field in for the soccer team at NRG, but they won't give those guys grass for their own team.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Jets and the Giants. Like, they're the perfect example. It's the worst field
in
sports.
Everywhere.
And
Panthers do it for soccer. They do it here for soccer.
Yeah.
Because it's more dollars. It's more dollars to have the soccer teams come in.
Yeah. It is.
That's like the biggest black eye to me.
Yeah.
Because it's very simple to fix.
I don't know. It's something, Brian. I don't know how you feel. But.
I mean, you're right on that and player safety are the biggest problems. But getting back to, Joe, your problem with it being a division game, like, especially if – it'd be one thing if it was, I don't know, name a bad division with bad teams. Saints.
NFC South.
Yeah, Saints, Panthers. I don't know. Pick whatever. But, like, we're talking about Super Bowl contenders and maybe the most contested division of football – and one of these two teams is going to have to give away their home game in that head-to-head?
Yeah.
It's not good for the product.
I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, like I don't know who's going to be the home team between Rams and
irrelevant.
And 49ers, but whoever that is,
for the road game.
But that team does not get their home game against that direct competition in their head-to-head that could obviously decide tiebreakers.
It almost feels like you have to, which they won't do this. It almost feels like they should put the other game on a neutral site, too.
Yeah, I agree. They won't do it, but I agree.
They won't do it, but, like, it's like, I wish, like, I like when they talk about expanding, Jeremy and Brian have talked about this before, like, I wish they would just do it. I wish they could expand, but just do it a little differently. Like, why can't we play games at Kyle Field? Why can't we play games at college stadiums and markets that, like, why can't we play at Clemson's Death Valley? Like, why can't we have a Texans Jets game there to like expand and try something different? Like, why do we have to go to these other countries that are 15 hours away?
You know the answer.
Because they're not going to pay as much.
Yeah. That's, I mean, like, you're going to get a TV deal. You're going to get all the merchandise sales. You're going to get the ticket sales. You get everything. You don't get anything new by going to College Station. Like, nothing else happens. You get a little bit more attention, but the NFL's got all the attention it wants in America.
Yeah. All those people that are already watching it. By the way, Matt Holland just texted me, Brian. Your four touchdowns, Seahawks win by.
Yeah. What's the line? Or what's the
if they win by 25-30, you can get plus 2,000.
Okay. All right.
31-36 plus 4,000. 37-42 plus 9,000. So you can. So if you wanted to, drive on up to Lake Charles, or just to the border.
Yeah, we got. I at least got to drive to the border so I can use the score app.
Drive to the border, make the bet, turn around.
How far is that drive to the border? Now that you bring that up,
it's like an hour 45.
Yeah,
2 hours.
Most of the drive to Lake Charles is in Texas.
Yeah,
it's only like 45. Minutes.
Like the last 20 minutes. Like once you cross the border, it's like 20 minutes to the casino.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's not bad. It's an easy drive as long as there's no accidents.
If I ever get the invite to the casino, let me know.
I'll see if we can get you an invite to the next one.
Thanks, bud.
No problem. All right. Last night, NFL awards, what they get right, what they get wrong, and why did someone vote for Justin Herbert to be the MVP of the season? We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
All right, NFL awards were last night. Coach of the Year, Mike Vrabel. I don't watch that stuff, but like,
neither do I.
It's just one of those where like it's a Twitter follow. Myles Garrett got all 50 votes for first place for Defensive Player of the Year. Will Anderson finished second, as he should have. Like, I think that's totally.
Yeah, that was a fight for second.
Yeah, it was like, to me, it wasn't even like a question. Like, I'm glad he finished second. It's well deserved. I mean, overall, like, it's like I think they got everything right for the most part when I like looked through it first, like through the first run. But obviously, the debatable one, because it ends up being a 5-point margin, is MVP. Closest margin since Manny McNair.
It was a 5-4. I thought it was 1 point.
I think it was one vote. Maybe
one vote was the first place vote.
I think that's what
vote.
It was. Yeah. Okay. But Matt Stafford wins over Drake May. I think they got this one right. I think it's fine.
I think either way is kind of.
Like, I would have been fine either way.
Yeah.
I didn't huge have, arguments. Like, a huge, like, argument against either of them. The funny part about this was that someone voted for Justin Herbert.
Okay. So, two thoughts on this. One, shout out to that dude, because he took to X.
Sam Monson.
And explained himself. I don't really care where you vote. I just, like, whatever.
You know the history of this voter, though?
Oh, boy.
He's also the guy that kept Jaden Daniels last year for being the unanimous rookie of the year. Because he was the only person.
Oh, so this guy's a clown.
To vote for, he's a look at me voter. Because he voted for Brock Bowers. All 48 other votes went to Jaden Daniels.
What?
Yeah.
This guy's a clown.
He's a look at me voter.
So he didn't come out to explain himself to like better the process. He came out because he wanted attention. Yeah. Yeah. All right, never mind. Hate him. Thanks. Bye. Check.
Yeah,
it, please.
It's one of those where like I.
What a joker.
Look, his argument he makes like it's.
That's the argument isn't like far-fetched.
It's logical. Like it's not just the best player, but like there are other people. Because then it's not a quarterback award. Like you're still voting for Justin Herbert. Like if you're this is where my problem with his argument is that if you're going truly the most valuable player in the NFL, there's going to be arguments for non-quarterbacks as well.
And which, it's shouldn't only there be
yes, and it's only a quarterback award. Like to me, like Christian like McCaffrey. Heisman. Has as much of an argument as Justin Herbert does to have votes for this year. So, like, I get why he's, you know, saying what he did about, you know, it's he got all of his offensive linemen were hurt and he helped carry this team, no run game, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. But
100% too.
And I know I'm biased, but, like, I would rather vote for the guy who also had, like, the most comebacks in the NFL if I was going to go outside the box. Like, I'd vote for Caleb.
Did he have the most or did the team? Yeah,
I would.
Homer Joe.
That's not even quarterback necessarily.
Like, I'm just saying.
I also think that, like, people won't like this, I don't think, because it kind of sacrifices your true vote. But I do think the assignment at times, when everyone's saying it's Stafford or May, it's this guy or that guy. You kind of have to pick and make your decision on one of those two guys to a degree, because like that's what that's what the vote is. By you're not. I mean, you get what I'm saying. Like if we've all established that it's A or B, by picking C,
we've all established. That's funny.
I mean, we did. Like he was the only guy that didn't vote for.
But
Mayer.
Like, who did it? It's just talking heads, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying when the vote is very clearly a two-person race, by picking option C, I think like you're not weighing in on the conversation.
I guarantee you that guy thinks Shawshank Redemption's a bad movie. He's that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like there's always one-offs. Like Ben Johnson, he got one vote for Coach of the Year. Only one person voted for him.
No, I think really?
Yeah. I think I have my conspiracy theories about that, but. I think it's because of what happened after he said bleep the Packers. I think these old writers always are always so pretentious.
Well, a lot of these voters for the Hall of Fame and for them love themselves. They don't love the process necessarily. They just do what I had Rob Parker on my show recently, kicking it with Kunkel on YouTube. And he is all for Bill Belichick not being in the Hall of Fame because he's in his mind he cheated. Mm-hmm. Not in his mind, but like he said he cheated, he shouldn't be in. He said the same thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady should not be in the Hall of Fame because he cheated. So it's a matter of, they cheated, we understand that. How much weight are you putting on that stuff? Like, how much weight are you putting on no offensive line for Justin Herbert? How much weight are you putting on the fact that Drake May had significantly less weapons than Matthew Stafford? And it's all just individual, viewpoints.
For sure. And we actually get to that here. We're like, because I thought it was an interesting idea of just, like, how much cheating is okay for a player or for a team. Because, like, honestly, I think like that argument that those two guys don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and that includes Robert Kraft, who we also found out last night didn't make the Hall of Fame. Like, I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you.
It's ridiculous because we have kind of decided
that cheating
scandal didn't matter enough.
It didn't.
But what if Eric Mangini went all hell and told everyone that Bill Belichick was cheating? Like, it definitely mattered because they wouldn't have done it if it didn't matter.
Sure.
So there's that's why it's kind of interesting. You can't really argue with Rob saying, nuh-uh, they didn't cheat, because, all right, they did cheat. We know they cheated. They admitted they cheated. Like, Jimmy Johnson came out later and said, we tried to film, guys. We couldn't get it done. Like, oh, okay. Well, if they cheated, they cheated. And if you value that more so than to them getting the Hall of Fame, I can't really argue with you on that.
No, it is. It does, like, now look, my biggest thing with that is, like, and is if you voted for, if you vote a certain way because of one cheating scandal, I think you should have to blanket vote for all of them.
That's like, the arbitrary line you have to draw, which then makes no sense.
Yeah, but like, it's like, if you view Bonds in a way, then frankly, I think you should view, you know, Beltran and Altuve, and it's going to be unpopular in the same way.
Well, his argument, Rob Parker's, was Bonds never got popped. You know, yeah, Clemens got like popped.
But that's such a garbage argument.
It's a cop-out. We all know.
Yeah.
We all know.
It's a garbage argument because, like, it's so clear. I have eyeballs.
I agree.
Well done.
I know. Thank you. but, like, it's always like it's one or the other. Like, you either have to be okay with some or okay with none. Like,
when you're playing judge, jury, executioner, you put yourself in a situation where you're going to back yourself in a corner.
Yeah, and like my thing is, like, I just don't think that if you look through the history of voting in the NFL, that they probably follow this. Like,
they don't. I mean, it depends where you want to draw the line. Is it like, was Stick'em was illegal? People used it. PEDs were illegal. People used them. Like, there's been cheating at all levels, out all the time. It's a matter of what you think was more than enough. Like, what was too much?
Now, like, Antonio Gates is a good example here, where, like, he also did not get in first ballot. But I don't think the reason why people didn't put him in first ballot was because he got popped for steroids.
No, I don't think so either.
But, like, for those people, like, it should be a factor. Now, I also...
Well, it better be.
But, like, I don't think it was.
I agree.
I think he just didn't get in right away.
If those people are on this, like, Spygate train.
But, like, to me, it's just, like, we know enough from, like, Mike Shanahan, Jimmy Johnson, that, like, other teams were doing this. It's so similar with Spygate to the Astros cheating scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It's why, like, when the Belichick stuff was going on, my first thought was, like, if you were tweeting anti-Beltran stuff and pro-Belichick stuff, you're a clown. Because they're the same. They're the exact same thing. Like, you cannot be a person that lives outside the city of Houston and say, I have an issue with Belichick getting it, not getting in, but I'm going to fight against Altuve getting in or fight against Beltran getting in, because it's the exact same thing. Everyone was doing it. They just got caught. Josh McDaniels was doing it. The Raiders were 6-0 his first year as a head coach. They got caught doing it. They made him stop. They barely won, like, two more games that season, and then he got fired. Like, other teams are doing it. So I think, like, how much cheating is too much cheating? Like,
what about Sean Payton and the Bounty Gate?
See, I think he has to now, by these writers, be held out of the Hall of Fame for a year. Has to. It's the same standard. Now, you can question who has these votes.
It wasn't cheating, though.
But he got suspended a full year. It was than
but
Belichick,
like, if we're drawing the line of cheating, look, I'm not saying Bounty Gate was okay, but if we're drawing the line of cheating, he wasn't cheating.
I mean,
well, neither was Pete Rose.
True. That's true. But he was breaking an established rule.
So was Sean Payton.
Yeah. No. I would have let Pete Rose in before now anyway. So I'm with you there. But, like, I mean, if we're drawing the line as strictly cheating the game, he didn't cheat the game. What he did was wrong, but he didn't cheat the game.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue,
I don't know. Like, do you gain a competitive advantage if your players know they're going to get $1 million for breaking a leg?
Yeah,
I guess if you think the other team's also not going to try to hit you as hard as they can.
Right, but there's not the extra, you know, $500,000 to do it.
I guess it's however much you think that motivation actually was.
And I guess the beauty of it is you don't have to decide. They cheated.
Yeah, like, you tell me, like, a Sean Taylor, you know, rest in peace, would have also laid off if he, like, I mean, or,
no, there's
or
a guy
harder, that, like, I mean, come on.
But it's a matter of knocking. It's the idea of intentionally going after something to win a reward, give your team the better chance to win and reap that reward by knocking them out of the game. Like, I mean, we saw the Danielle Hunter clip against Josh Allen. Like, he intentionally kind of laid off Josh's knee, didn't twist it, brought him to the ground. Oh, there's $1 million reward if I rip this guy's knee apart.
Yeah, I just, like, saying. To me, it's always just like.
Daniil wouldn't, because he's the big, nicest guy ever.
Aziz.
Ooh.
He probably hurt him a little bit.
Wow.
But, like, I'm just, that's the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, I just
said that.
I know Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee. I think the argument, like, I think it's dumb that Belichick and Kraft run in. Like, I get what they did.
I agree.
But, like, it's just, to me, it's just enough time has passed.
You know,
like,
what's, so that's kind of the really interesting part. They cheated. We had the discussion. They got banned. And then it got swept under the rug because the media cycle moves so freaking fast. The years go on, like, whatever, who cares? But it gets promptly put on the front row right away overnight and in a very, very real manner. Like, Bill Belichick is now no longer a first ballot Hall of Famer, never will be. And he'll always have an asterisk near his name because not of what happened on the cheating scandal necessarily, but because of what happened in the voting 10 years later.
100%.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I lost a lot of respect for all these voters in these different situations because I also learned that the worst person in sports media has a vote for the MVP yesterday. You know who that is?
I'm not going to throw out a name and be wrong.
who said the worst, Brian, who do you think has had the worst football take we've played on Bad Take Boulevard in the last 2 weeks?
Cowherd?
Nope.
It feels like something that's going to be very obvious once you tell me.
Hook 'em.
Who's that?
Oh.
Yes.
Wait. Phil, Sims?
Nope.
Chris Sims?
Emmanuel Acho.
Oh,
Emmanuel Acho. Clown. He has a vote for what?
MVP.
He's a clown. That dude is a sanctimonious clown.
I don't know.
That I will say.
I learned that. I was like, when I heard he had MVP vote.
Why?
I was like,
for what?
I don't know.
The funniest comment I saw about that take. So for all y'all that don't know what we're talking about, Emmanuel Acho said, why the hell would Shedeur Sanders ever listen to Monken, his new head coach, because Monken never has had success as a head coach because he hasn't been a head coach. And it's the dumbest take of all time, which means you never listen to a coach if they've never been a head coach, which is dumb. But then someone said below on a comment, was like, you can't even blame CTE. This dude played like 4 games.
I ain't played in college. All right.
Not that hard, I can tell you.
No.
Longhorns weren't very good when he was there.
Bro, he is a bum.
I'm not a fan.
I much prefer his brother Sam.
I like Sam, too.
Yeah, Sam's fine.
Sam's a great character.
Emmanuel's crazy.
Yeah.
Emmanuel's a jackass.
Yeah, he jumped the shark because, like, it got him. I get it. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe my media career will never go where I'd like it to go down the road because I never want to be that.
Hell, like, no. Like, would you?
He's just such a sellout. Like,
he's a sellout, but he's a clown, and then he tries to take this high sanctimonious road, and then, like, what the irony behind the Shedeur Sanders thing is that he's actually doing to Shedeur an extreme disservice by having him in this type of conversation and then actually trying to give him that type of advice.
Yep.
When in reality, what he's trying to do is build him up and be like, he's the man. Like, bro, you're destroying him because you're here so much for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're so arrogant. You're so self-centered that while you're trying to play this card, you're actually burying the kid.
All right, let's take a quick break here.
Manuel's a clown.
Little temperature check here on the Olympics. How much do we care? How much are we caring about the Olympics these days as they get, well, I guess they're underway. We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Josh from Seabrook says, wrong answers only. Jeremy Branham is taking the day off because he's meeting his long-lost twin, Jeffrey Branham.
Jeffrey Branham.
If you missed that, Tim Branham called him Jeffrey.
Isn't there another drop of someone calling him the wrong name?
I don't know. I don't have it. The only one I have is Jeffrey Branham.
Jeffrey Branham.
What was he referencing? Sounds like a March Madness game.
No, it was just a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
It was during the Cougs game, and he was giving a shout-out to Big E while Brando was on the Fox broadcast. And he goes, it's Big E, and then it's Jeffrey Branham.
Swing and a miss.
He tried.
Is that cool or horrible?
I mean, he got
both
names wrong, though.
If you're Branham.
He really liked it. And then he didn't know that the guy's name wrong. So I'm not sure as he likes it.
Yeah, people told him that he got a shout out, but then I played it for him. He had no idea that, well, I got a shout out, but he butchered both of my names.
Yeah. See, if it was like Jeremy, Jeremy Brenham, like, eh, whatever. Like, that happens. I'm sure it happens all the time.
Yeah. But both names?
That's tough. That's tough. All right, so the Olympic ceremonies were today.
Hell yeah! Woo!
How much do you care?
This is the white guy Olympics. This is our time, dude.
It is more white people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like 85%, it feels like.
I watched curling this morning. It was the mixed doubles.
All right, so Dumb and Dumber here.
We beat their ass, the Czech Olympics.
Say curling's the best Olympic sport.
What?
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that?
No. Oh, no, just, that was just Brandon.
Just Brandon.
What do you mean it's the best? In what world? Like, fine, I'll watch it.
That was his cash or trash.
Better than ice, like, better than hockey?
That's what I said.
Yeah, hockey's the best.
Yeah, I said I'd rather watch, like, I like curling, but I'd rather watch hockey. I'd rather watch, like, the snowboarding.
Downhill?
I'd rather watch the downhill. I'd rather watch, I love speed skating. Like, speed skating's underrated.
I'd rather watch anything more so, I will still watch curling, but I will watch anything more so than, I'm not a figure skating guy. So,
same. Oh, yeah, I can't get
the curling is, like, neat, but it's hardly, like, wildly entertaining.
My rule for the Olympics with, like, with summer or winter is I just want to understand the rules and, like, not be confused. So something like figure skating, like, I don't really know what they're being judged on.
They said so.
I figured out gymnastics for the most part, I think. Like, I kind of get the scoring. Like, it's kind of like you know it when you see it, like, what's really, really good.
Yeah.
But, like, some of these sports, I'm just like, I don't know the rules of these things.
Like, yeah, but it's like that.
Like, curling's easy.
It's the, it's that ski jump where they go, like, flying.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, sounds look pretty good to me.
Well, that's where the injections are coming for.
Yeah.
Is for the long
jump. That's right. The penises.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to see wieners. Don't want to see wieners. Look, I have good context behind this.
Like, Do you?
Yes. It's from
What could it be?
There's I want to see wieners. Two TV shows that were showing a lot of them.
A lot of, like, what?
Game of Thrones.
Is it on your computer?
In the pit.
Is this, like, featuring a babysitter?
No.
I think
your take
was specifically because of the pit.
It was because
of the pit.
Did
someone get caught cheating in this video?
No. It was because of the pit. And it was too much. I don't want to see wieners. Don't want to see them. I wish I never said that. I wish I could have back. Like, there's a lot of things I've said that, like, I want back. That's one.
I get it.
But, like, I want to understand the rules. I'm mostly excited for hockey. The only problem is that, like,
pump for hockey.
I'm so excited for the 2028 Olympics.
Why?
They'll be in our time zones.
Yeah. You know, but, like, this one's not crazy, is it?
It's not too bad. Like, there's some early morning stuff. Like, some of the curling's at, like, 4 a.m. I saw. So, like, it's just like
Jeffrey's going to have a hell of a time.
It's on in the morning. Now, I will say, like, when Joseph was born, was during something. I can't remember if it was the World Cup or the Olympics, like, that first year. So that was fine. Okay. Because, like, I was just up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's like, it's kind of like one of the perks of having a newborn. Like, if there's a cool event going on, you're like, well, I guess I have a reason to, like, not be so upset about having to be up at 3 a.m. because there's something good going on.
So my daughter was born the day that college football started. So, like, I was in the hospital, like, just bored. And I was like, oh, we got college football on all day.
Just watch college football.
So I just sat there, gambled, and all the nurses did all the work.
Especially that first day. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, they were like, do you guys want to leave? I was like, hell no, I'm not trying to go home and do this by myself.
Stay here as long as humanly possible.
I have a personal helper.
Yeah.
And a TV. I'm good.
I thought you were about to say, I have a staff.
I was going to say something along that line. I want a helper.
It is nice. Like, I remember, like, when Joseph was born on a Saturday, so, like, as well. It was still, like, during, like, COVID times.
There was
no one there.
Were you even allowed to be in there?
I was, but I was the only one.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with my daughter. When my daughter was born, they would allow us plus one.
Yeah, that's what we had too, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, so we cool. Like, my mom and dad came, but, like, one of them had to stay outside, and they would have to, like, swap places.
Oh, we had to establish ours at check-in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They would let my dad leave, and then my mom come in, or vice versa, but they couldn't come in at the same time.
Someone says cut don't out of that clip. No, we're not doing that. We're not cutting don't.
You can barely hear
it. I
want to
see wieners.
I thought you initially said, I want to see wieners.
Yeah, actually, the first time I heard it, I thought I misspoke.
I mean, I can make that edit.
No, please don't.
I bet you can't make that edit.
I think Will's trying to reverse.
He's trying really hard. He's trying really challenging.
Just to be fair.
No, don't do it.
I don't think
Brian,
you have
to. Hey, Brian, when'd you want that PTO? Denied.
Brian.
Denied.
Wait, if it's already denied, I'm just going to do it.
It will be denied.
I mean, if you want to give me an extra one.
That might rival.
Let's begin the negotiation.
All right, we can negotiate off the air. HRMP might be listening. Oh, I know Jeremy's not here, but like Chris Fisher listens a lot, so I can't be handing out free vacation days. But yeah, I just that's the only thing that sucks about the Olympics is just like sometimes it's super early in the morning. Like I think that's what's gonna be cool about the World Cup too this summer. It's just like it's gonna be happening at normal times that we can really enjoy.
Right now in Milan, it is noon. So you're only 6 hours ahead.
Yeah, so it's not too bad. Yeah, okay, like it's not like when it was in
Milano.
Was it in Japan?
Yeah, the Tokyo ones.
Yeah.
It was like, or way back, like the Summer Olympics that were in Australia. I mean, yeah. Bringing it back to the NFL. It's yeah. Like, it's a nightmare.
Well, that was when, like, I think, like
2000.
It was like, okay, that was 2000. So, because yeah. I remember, like, the lat was like two LeBron Olympics ago where, like, the Team USA would play at, like, 3 in the morning. And
and there was a Winter Olympics not too long ago in Russia also. That was a little tough.
I think the other thing I'm looking forward to is, like, I'm just kind of fascinated by this Lindsey Vonn story, to be honest with you.
She tore ACL, like, 2 weeks ago, and like, she's competing.
Didn't we all kind of expect that to happen, by
but,
the
like,
way?
She's, did yeah.
we?
Well,
she
just
always
got hurt.
Something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, yeah, her to get hurt, sure, yeah.
But she has a torn ACL, and, like, she did, like, a jump today.
But you can ski on a torn ACL.
I guess.
Several
I didn't know
people
that.
Have done it before.
But, like, she...
Like, not that big of a deal.
Like, I would get it if she's doing, like, the long jump skiing. Okay, where it's a, okay, it's a straight line. But, like, the type of skiing she's done is, like, she's doing the slalom, right? Like, that's like a lot of
right.
cutting and turning and putting pressure to hold that outside edge with your knee.
Yeah, so I think that's, like, one of the more interesting stories.
The real story with her, though, is that she's 41. Like...
Is she really?
That's
yeah.
not old, Will. Come on now.
It isn't the Olympics.
I'm not an Olympic.
Yeah, I know.
Like...
What would be your Olympic, your Winter Olympic sport?
Downhill. I was a skier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Downhill.
Soft.
For sure.
Not a snowboarder? Come on.
Hell no, I ain't no
this
boy.
age, I would have to say curling.
At this age, curling for sure.
Oh, at this age. Have you done curling, by the way?
No, but I saw.
It's very hard.
I
like,
saw
initially.
there's a curling club that's not far from here.
Yeah, that's like the local news does the curling club story every 4 years.
Yeah, and I think we should do like a team outing.
I'm in.
Like, and maybe we can get like Randy or someone
out
there
tough.
To cover it.
It's difficult to do. Like, you got to balance yourself. You know, you get better at it as you go, but it's not easy. I mean, you're going to bust your ass the first couple times.
I just think about like the idea of like Lance on ice.
I'm in.
Oh, he's.
It sounds like the worst Disney movie of all time.
Lance on ice?
I would pay to watch Lance try to be one of the sweepers. Stay on his feet.
Yeah.
So, like, yelling in German?
Yes, exactly.
Like, well, of course, like, well, I'm yelling in German, like, we'll be good to go. But I think that'd be like a fun. 97.5 outing.
I think that's the best drop on 97.5 is Lance screaming German.
Oh, I mean, it's...
Like, the other day, which was hilarious, on his show, they were talking about it, and he was like, I don't even know what I was talking about. Like, how do you not know what you're doing in that moment for that? That's the wild part.
I bet you was talking about his wife running a marathon in German. Like, if I had to bet on it, like, it's that...
Ich bitte von Klon und Steinheiger.
It sounds... It sounds like it's straight out of Beer Fest.
It sounds very aggressively German.
Yeah.
I think the Viking call is my personal favorite.
Oh, their breaking news drop?
Yeah. I think that's my favorite. Maybe that's what we'll do for March Madness. We should do a March Madness tournament of drops this year, BMAC, for what we do for March Madness. I think that's, especially since Jeremy's going to be ditching us all March long, most likely. All right. What's better for the league on...
I thought that was going to be it.
It
wasn't.
It was not it.
Because it said the bench. Cool. So I was like, oh, that's got to
like
be
that
it. And then it wasn't.
That was, like that was like when they were like official.
Yeah.
All right. What's better for the league on Sunday? What's better for the Texans, the Seahawks, or the Patriots winning the Super Bowl on Sunday? We'll get to that next right here on ESPN 97.5. Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business and helping you get into a new and used leased vehicle. And their mission has been simple. They're going to try to help you with negative equity. They're going to make getting a vehicle easier, smartable, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that has not changed whatsoever. You can work with a leasing agent right now that's been there for, on average, about 10 years. Their managers have been there for 20, and they will help you through the process from start to finish. So if you've never leased a vehicle, don't worry. They're going to save you money, protect you from depreciation, and design a lease around your life. Check them out right now at dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and tell them that ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.